This is the Horse Radio Network.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I'm Coach Jen in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Tuesday, December 20th, episode 1592. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association. Good morning, horse world.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association. Welcome back, Christy, to the third Tuesday of the month. What's up? What's going on over there at the Certified Horsemanship Association?
You know what, Jen? All kinds of excitement in year end because we have a brand new Christmas gift, Hanukkah gift, whatever you celebrate gift for everybody.
Really?
We just finished our equine professional manual, The Art of Teaching Riding.
Really? Now, how long has that thing been in the works?
Oh, boy. The committee started it almost 3 years ago.
Wow. Now,
yes.
When something like that gets started, where's the starting point? Obviously, the starting point is we want to do this. But what are kind of the big steps along the way to make something like that happen?
Well, we had an original book. It was called The Riding Instructor and Trail Guide Manual. And we had a few years back taken all the trail guide information out of that one and created a really large manual just on being a trail guide, whether it's a day ride trail guide or overnight or truly packing into the wilderness. So then that rest of that riding instructor part of that manual was like, well, we like about half of it, but half of it we need to change and update. So they started with, what are we going to keep? What are we going to get rid of? And where do we need to find the sources to add the stuff? And it ended up being a 208-page, fully illustrated with beautiful black and white photography manual.
Wow. Now, is it a bound book or is it a spiral?
It is bound.
Wow. Cool.
Now, yeah, it's very exciting.
This is kind of unique, though, because this is one of the few books out there, at least in my experience, that focuses on the art of teaching. This isn't about training horses.
Correct.
It's about teaching riders, which is something a little bit unique in the horse world because we spend all of our time focusing on training horses.
I would agree with that. And I'll tell you, you know, in other countries, it's not necessarily the case. Trainer means train the horse. Instructor means train the rider. And coach means you're training at a really high level, world champions or FEI level. Mm-hmm. That's normal in a lot of other countries, but ours, everybody's a trainer. No matter what you do, you're a trainer. And that's not necessarily correct in other parts of the world. So we decided, you know, we certify riding instructors. That's what we do. We do not certify horse trainers. So therefore, even though a lot of us have to do both in our lives, most of the time you kind of go towards one or the other that you do best. Mm-hmm. So we decided The Art of Teaching Riding was a very good title for this. It's for beginners that are just getting started, never taught before, all the way up to those of us that have been teaching for a really long time that want some new material to keep ourselves from getting bored as we teach.
So does it cover, is it something that's going to be useful for riding instructors or potential riding instructors who teach English or Western or saddle seat? What does it cover in that respect?
Yes, we are. Every time we do a membership survey, which is about every 3 years, we are 50-50 split on English and Western.
Really?
So for us, English is the hunter world. So you're looking at, you know, hunter equitation on the flat, hunter equitation over fences. You're looking at, you know, those types of disciplines. And we do, of course, the flat work and the jumping and the dressage component. And then on the Western side, anything that does not involve a rope and a cow. So you're reining. Your Western pleasure, your horsemanship, all of those kinds of things are included. So we do have a special right now for all listeners for Horse Radio Network. All they have to do is put in HRN in the coupon code on our website, and they'll get 20% off
Wow. Of
the price of the manual. And we'll do this until the end of the year. So you have until December 31st. So still 11 more days to get it done.
Now, you want to go to the CHA website to do that.
Correct, which is chainstructors.com. And just click on the store tab and manuals, and you'll see the brand new manual has an equine eye really, really zoomed in on the cover. It's a pretty cool shot, so you won't miss it.
That's a great gift for any horse person in your life.
I'll tell you, it doesn't have to be just an instructor, because there's so many sample lessons in there that you yourself could go and do while you're riding your horse. There's all the different learning styles, all the different teaching styles, how they all interact, and how we tend to focus on just the way we like to be taught. So it teaches you the other ways to teach so that you are going to be able to accommodate anyone.
Well, yeah, even if you're someone who primarily rides by yourself and doesn't have eyes on the ground very often, what a great home use tools, because you can read that, learn about how to be taught, learn about exercises. You and your friends can read it together and help each other out. What a great tool.
Yes, lots of good things like that. And then, you know, our good old composite manual of horsemanship still there. And that's our levels 1 through 4, which we always call our self-guided tour through horsemanship. And at the end of every level, there's a sample arena test, test that you would do out on the trail, and then a sample written test of all the information like blemishes and unsoundnesses and parts of the tack and parts of the horse. And so that's a good self-guided tour one too.
Awesome. Well, another excellent gift idea for someone else or you if you want to stuff your own stocking.
Yes. And then, of course, many, many DVDs. Every conference, we video 1.5 hours worth of all the speakers. So each speaker at our conference speaks for 1.5 hours. So all of our DVDs are 1.5 hours long, focusing on one topic. And I think we're up to 38 of them now.
Dang.
And there's everything from Western horsemanship to jumping to hunter pleasure on the flat to how to put a high line up or a picket line up if you're really going out and doing the overnight camping, bunch of different things. So check it out.
Something for everybody. Exactly. Well, let's move on with the show here, because we got a lot going on. We're going to chat with Jim Lauder very shortly here. He is from Balance Rider, and we're going to start down the road of balance and why it isn't so important for horses and riders with him. And then next up, we're going to speak with Emily Cavender from Tennessee, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the big picture and balance. And then after the break, we're going to chat with Kathy Richardson from Washington, and she's going to have a little bit about teaching balanced riding, and she's going to give us, hopefully, some of her aha moments. So we'll get right to it.
So our first guest on today's show is a sponsor of the show, the owner, creator, and developer of Balance Rider. Jim and his wife, Jo Lauder, created Balance Rider. I met them at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo here in Denver a few years back and loved the product. Not only did I love the product, but my husband and my boys also enjoyed the product. And they live here in Colorado like I do as well. So, Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. Merry Christmas to you. And thank you for having us on.
Thank you so much for being here. You know, it's perfect. Our title of today's show is Balance in Riding and Core Exercises to Help Build Rider Strength. So you all being the sponsor of the show and having this product that truly does create good balance is super. And what I think so great about you, Jim, is that you're not really the horse guy in the family. It's more Jo, your wife. You're more of the physical fitness guy and the guy that understands what core strength is. So please explain a little bit about your background for us.
You betcha. My beautiful, beautiful better half, Jo, is the rider in the family. And she came to me some years ago and wanted some help of regaining her confidence and getting back in the saddle. She hadn't ridden in some time. My background is in exercise physiology. I actually don't ride, but I'm very active in the fitness world and trying to stay abreast of what's cutting edge. What I had done in the past, usually when she asked me to do something, like a lot of us husbands, I really felt like I failed her. But on this particular situation, when she asked me for help, kind of core exercise was just really kind of starting to roll, and really core exercise, probably better scientifically known as spinal stabilization, was really coming into its own. And I knew that if we could adapt some of those things that were happening in exercise physiology directly to what she was asking me to do, that we would have a winner. And what we did is true spinal stabilization core, to do it right, you have to work off of an unbalanced platform. So you can do all the sit-ups in the world or hold a plank, and that's great. That's good trunk strengthening, but for true core muscles, you have to work off of an unbalanced platform, much like a horseman does every time they get on a horse. So, what we did is we took an old saddle stand and chopped off the legs, put it on a universal joint, and that was our prototype. Put it back on the stand, and the idea was to sit on it and to keep it as quiet as possible. And I knew if you took your feet out of the scenario, basically just had them float a little bit off the ground, that taking your ankles, your knees, and your hips, out of the balancing capability, it meant that the all-important 8 to 10 inches of spinal stabilizers, those true core muscles, were going to have to do all the work.
And they do. I'll tell you, out of all of us that rode it, Jim, I honestly think that my, at the time, 11-year-old son was the best at it. And he's my track guy and my jump on the trampoline every day guy. And that's just who he is. He's constantly moving. So it didn't really surprise me, now that you've said all of that, that he was the best at it. I was a little sad because, I thought maybe I would be the best because I ride horses. But obviously, I got to work on my core more. So that's good to know.
Well, and that's not unusual, because quite often, when we started this process, Joe, my wife being the horseman, and these kind of from a science point of view, I wanted to find out more of, what it was that made a horseman, succeed at being a horseman. And so I called a lot of people, asked a lot of questions, and it came really down to that wonderful thing that you have all been told from the very first time you get on a horse, and that's it. Seated balance is everything. You got to work on that seated balance. But by asking questions, I found out that it was a little bit, people weren't quite exactly sure how to explain it, what it meant. I got a lot of, I know it when I see it, or you just need to put more time in the saddle, and things that kind of said, this is a great opportunity to help people know that. Just like when you got on it that first time, the light bulb goes off. And for the very first time, most people, almost all people who get on it, they light up like a Christmas tree and they go, oh, I get it. For the first time, I understand truly what seated balance is. And most people say, boy, I really do need to work on it. And that's the great thing about the rider, is that just simply, if all you ever do it is sit on it, and I encourage people to watch TV, they will profoundly improve their core strength, thus increasing their seated balance. And we know that's all about communication between horse and rider. So that's what it does in a nutshell.
And see, and I love that, because I'll tell you, we talk a lot about rider confidence improving with core strength and balance, right? The more that you feel balanced, the more you have that strength. So why do you think that happens? And go ahead and do explain to us, how that all does affect not only the rider, but the horse.
Well, what's very interesting about that seated balance concept, and that seated balance and core strength are 100% synonymous. You can't have one without the other. And as you go forward and you start working on that aspect of balance in the saddle, it naturally means that you're going to become more comfortable. You're going to become more comfortable in saddle. More comfort means more confidence. And at the end game, what's so wonderful about it is the horse gets as much benefit from you being comfortable, confident, and balanced as, it's a win-win situation. And truly, what's really kind of exciting, I tend to go off and get pretty geeked out about the science, is that, we have to remember that horses are mammals also. So all these scientific systems and physiological systems that we're working on for the human, when we work off the balance rider, horses have the exact same system. So they have a core system and proprioception, and proprioception and core are integrally tied together. One works with the other. And if you're not familiar with what proprioception is, it's kind of that idea that it's how your body knows where it is in space. So if you're like you and I are in Colorado, we've all experienced that time where you're walking and you kind of start to slip maybe on a patch of ice, and you're kind of amazed that you didn't go down, that you didn't fall. Well, that's because your proprioception system activated quick enough to keep your core in alignment to give you a chance for the rest of the muscles to catch up. Basically, that's how the balance and spinal stabilizers work together. Well, horses have the same system. They have spinal stabilizers and they have a proprioceptor system. So, when you have this experience, whether you've had it yourself where it was just a perfect, wonderful ride, or you've seen it on somebody, it's because, I mean, there's profound physiology behind it. Obviously, there's great knowledge and technique, and somebody's trained very hard to get there, but also two physiological systems from two different animals, two different species, are actually working as one. And that's what we're trying to help people accomplish.
So, Jim, is this balance rider going to help me whether I trail ride, whether I jump, whether I ride dressage, whether I ride working cow, or whether I team rope, or is it truly just for a certain discipline?
Well, that's the neat thing about it. Anything that you do in the world of the equestrian, it's going to give you a profound benefit by, again, if all you ever do is sit on it, it's going to strengthen your core, your proprioception. And as you get to, and doing whatever you love most to do on that horse, you're going to communicate better. You're going to be more comfortable. And, that horse, again, that beautiful, beautiful, animal, God's gift to us, they get such a great benefit because as you're more balanced, the horse has less difficulty. I had a wonderful equine vet friend of mine who said, this thing is really, really amazing because so many of my calls are going to help somebody whose horses, I'm responding to something. I get out there and the horse has an overuse injury. And that overuse injury is inevitably due to the horseman being just either a lot out of balance or even just a little bit out of balance. Once you start balancing yourself and you and the horse move as one, no matter if it's trail or it's dressage or it's roping or it's, jumping, sliding, doesn't matter. Once you move as one with the horse, and that's the whole idea, is to connect as one with the horse, then the horse gets a great benefit also.
So I know a lot of people like to see stuff. So I know you go to a lot of expos. Do you have any expos coming up where our listeners could come and get on one?
I do, as a matter of fact. We're going to be in Pomona, California, Super Bowl weekend. I'm not quite sure. It's usually right around the first week or two of February. And if you're in that area, please come out to the Pomona Expo, and we'd love to have you give you a chance to get on it, because it really is, it is kinesthetic. The way we learn best as humans is by feeling, by doing. And we can listen all we want or we can see it, but once we start actively doing it, it's just how we're designed to learn. So you really get a process. And again, like I said, the light bulb goes off and you really understand exactly what it's designed to do. And then later in the spring, we're hoping to be in Wellington, Florida. And that's still to be announced. But we're hoping to go down there for the season and spend some time with the hunter jumper folks and give them an opportunity to see what we've got.
Well, then I'm excited because it looks like next fall, to celebrate our 50th anniversary, you're going to come to Lexington, Kentucky and have some of your balance riders there. And you'll also are going to do a talk for us on core strength and exercises that riders can do on and off horses in order to build their core strength. So we're going to be thrilled to have you at that event.
Well, and I got to tell you, I am honored and humbled that you reached out to me and are going to allow me to do that, because at the end of the day, it's really trying to help people connect with their horses in really a profound new way and to allow them to enjoy their time on the back of a horse. And I truly am honored to be able to do that with you guys and to give people some more knowledge. And if, like I say, if I go down that geeked out road, I hope people raise their hand and say, "Hey, Jim, can you slow down? Let's repeat some of this." But I'll be there for the entire time, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting as many folks as possible.
So right now, though, if we have listeners that aren't going to be at any of these events that still might want to find out more or purchase one or whatever the case may be, I know you have a website that they can go to see them, and then you have a phone number to give to us today where you're going to offer a code for them to be able to get a discount, aren't you?
Absolutely. We're on the top of every search engine. All you have to do is punch in Balance Rider, and it will take you to our webpage. We're balancerider.com, and you can get all sorts of information and go deep into it. There's some video there. There also is contact phone numbers in case you don't remember what we give you today on the air. And then for your listeners, the riders are usually $750 plus shipping. Well, what we're going to do for all those who call in and give us the code Horse Radio Network, and it will be a verbal, so they'll just need to call us and we'll give them a $100 discount.
Wonderful.
We're doing real well around the Christmas season, so we actually are sold out at this particular time, but we're taking orders for the next run that are coming off the manufacturer's line as we speak. And it'll give them a chance to get a wonderful discount around the Christmas season. We can work with them if they want to do it as a present and we can't get it into their hands before Christmas. We got some ideas. You know, we can put a card under the tree, let them know that it's coming. But if they'll call us and look us up on balancerider.com, we will be happy to honor those folks who are listening today with a nice discount.
Wonderful, Jim. And for anybody that really has the ability right now to write down the phone number, what is that phone number?
You bet. The phone number is 970-846-4846. Now, that's my cell number that I carry around with me at all times. We also have a house and office number, and that's 970-879-7106. And on that number, you get to talk to my much better half, the boss, and she'll answer the phone on that end. But even one of those that you call, we will be happy to honor the discount and to work with you any way we possibly can. And we're really excited to, you know, work with the CHA folks and get people excited and just, you know, continually have the chance to get it into more people's hands. And if you do forget this number, you can find it on also on balancerider.com.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'll tell you, without balance, you pretty much end up not where you're supposed to be, which is on the ground when you ride a horse. So we obviously have to improve our core all the time. And we just so appreciate you being on today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, Christy. You guys are the best. And I look forward to working with you guys in the near future. And I can't wait until the convention and just working with you down the road.
So I guess you could say that the old saying that no foot, no horse, no balance, no rider.
I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's kind of ironic. You have to improve your core strength and your core control to have good balance. And balance is at the core of good riding.
Ooh, look at you with all your puns today. You are on it.
Yes, it's all the coffee.
But you know, I think that's so true because people think riding is literally a bunch of legs, right? Leg, 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 leg.
Sure.
Well, without good core, the legs don't work properly. Without good core, you don't really even have good breathing. And you know, you got to breathe when you're on top of that horse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many things that it comes into play. So absolutely. I just love it when we talk about seat and balance because, you know, they say the four natural aids are seat, legs, hands, voice. And in that order, knowing that in dressage, you can't use voice at all, but seat, legs, hands. So again, seat comes first.
Yeah. And really core comes before seat.
Yeah, it's true.
Really. And it all radiates from there. And I know from personal experience that when you lose that core, everything else comes apart like a domino. It just
sure does.
And you can't fix the fact that you put more weight in one foot than the other until you go all the way back to the core and fix it from there and work your way out.
Very true. You know, I have some herniated discs that I got a long, long time ago, and they've always said surgery, surgery, surgery. And I've always said, no, no, no. So I do tons of core exercise to be able to keep my stomach muscles strong and my core strong. Then the back doesn't have to be used as often. And boy, I've kept myself away from surgery for, don't really want to say this, but gosh, almost 20 years now.
Knock on wood.
Since the injury.
Yeah,
long time.
Wow. Good
long
for
time.
You.
So core is good.
Cool. Well, we got a jam-packed show today. So why don't we invite our next guest, Emily Cavender, on and chat a little bit more about her take on balance for good riding.
That would be great. I would love to introduce her right now. Emily is a CHA Level 3 certified instructor in both English and Western. She lives in Tennessee. She grew up trail riding, but then she did do quite a bit of showing in high school. And then she started her competitive career actually showing mules, which I think is great, in everything from Western pleasure to side saddle. So I think that's super fun.
Interesting.
She attended... I know we'll have to talk to her more about that. She attended Middle Tennessee State University and was a competitive member of both Western and Hunter Seat teams throughout college. She graduated with her bachelor's in journalism, and she's now working on her master's in horse science with a focus on equine education. She's a grad student there that coaches their team and competes on their stock horse team. And one cool thing that she's doing this next summer is she's going to go to the American Quarter Horse Association International Horsemanship Camp and is going to help them teach. their riders there. So we're really excited to have her on the show.
Well, welcome to the show, Emily. Now, I have a very important question to get things started here.
Go ahead.
I didn't know you could ride a mule side saddle. You need to explain why. Who thinks of that?
I don't know. I don't know who thought of it, but I did. I learned how to ride side saddle on a mule, and I made a connection when I was in high school with a trainer who trained and showed mules, and so I was able to go work for a couple weeks for two different summers with her, and we did carriage driving and Western Pleasure and over fences and everything. But one of the things that I did get to do was learn how to ride side saddle. And we had the fancy outfits and everything. And they are just like horses. You can do anything with them that you do with a horse.
I think that was great. I saw the side saddle. You know, I always have to bring this up on probably every fifth or sixth show. Glenn and Jen laugh at me, but I worked at Medieval Times and I got to ride side saddle in the Rose Parade. So every time I see side saddle, I get very excited. I'm like, oh, I think that's so fun. Side saddle always equals fun to me, not work. Just fun.
It is a blast. And it is a humongous workout. I mean, you talk about sore the next day. I have never been sore from riding like I was sore after I rode side saddle for the first time. So if you've never tried it and you get the opportunity to do so, I highly recommend it, but just be prepared. You'll have some sore muscles the next day.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a perfect segue. It's talk about needing a lot of core muscle to ride a stride. You definitely need a lot of core muscle to ride a stride too. Definitely. It is not an easy thing to do. So Emily, you, I know, teach quite a bit. You obviously coach the team there and you've done other teaching at local barns. Why do you think personally that balance is so important to good riding?
Well, probably the most important thing is safety. And we talk a lot about safety with CHA, of course. But, you know, when you're getting on a huge animal that has a mind of its own, you want to stay up there. You don't want to come off. So being in balance while you're riding is so important, so that if the horse spooks, if they trip, if you take a weird spot to a jump, whatever might happen, you know, there's lots of things we all know that can happen. You want to be able to stay up there and continue on like it may never have happened. And, you know, ideally, we all want to have that straight line from ear through your shoulder to your elbow and hip and down to your heel. And when that is there, if the horse were to magically disappear out from under you, you would hit the ground and still stay on your feet. So we want you to be able to sit up there and be in good balance and be safe. But it goes so much more beyond that, just the safety factor. And I heard from Andrew Zicke, who's a huge mentor of mine, that something interesting about balance that I had never thought of before, which is that when you're in balance, we're going to think about it as your bones. Your bones are all in alignment the way that they should be when you're riding. And your bones never get tired. Your muscles get tired when you ride. You get fatigued. Let's say you're in the middle of a cross-country course and you're starting to get tired and you've still got a ways to go. Even though your muscles are fatigued, your bones will never get tired. And so your balance will always be there for you, even though your muscles may not be at 100% still. So I think that's so important to be able to rely on that when you're tired or when something goes wrong, as we all know can happen.
I agree with that. So what do you think in regards to ages of students? When should young beginner riders start doing exercises to help develop their balance?
We start from day one. Our very first lesson, we talk about balance, because most of them, you know, in their very first lesson, they're a little nervous. Maybe they're not quite sure. And so we spend a lot of time talking about riding, and they'll be sitting on their horse. So we can talk about balance, and we'll talk about standing position more in a minute, but we start them out from the very get-go of practicing standing position on the horse and what that means and why that's important. And so from the very beginning, we start working on that. And we're talking about, you know, maybe a 4 or 5 year old rider here. And that seems like very young, and it is, but it's much easier to develop good balance than to fix bad balance. And so we want them to have the benefit of starting from the very beginning in balance with the horse as much as they can be at that age. So we start from the very get-go with them, and I'm really happy to say that we've had really great success. Our young riders, they have some really great balance from the beginning, and we're really, really happy that they can start at that young of an age and not have to work so hard to fix problems down the road. So
it really does help
from the beginning.
From the very beginning to do that. Yeah. So from that standpoint, then, you mentioned the stand exercise. You could explain that more and then maybe tell us some of the other exercises that you do with your riders to help them develop that balance.
Sure. Well, I think the standing position is sort of the holy grail of balance exercises. I do it with all of my students in every single lesson. And it doesn't matter the level of the rider, whether it's their first lesson or they are an experienced, advanced rider, we're still going to do standing position. So if you're not familiar with standing position, it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. You're going to stand in the saddle, but you're not. It's not like 2-point where you close at your hip angle and you're in a jumping position. This is standing up, allowing your leg to come directly underneath your hip. And that is the challenging part for most people. Most people are going to have their leg either in front of them where they're sitting in a little bit of a chair seat, or in some cases a lot of a chair seat, when they're in the saddle. And those riders, when they try to get into standing position and they're up out of the saddle and they're upright in their upper body, they're going to keep falling back into the saddle because their leg is ahead of them. They're not able to get their leg back underneath them to balance over their stirrups and keep their leg underneath their hips. So I tell all my riders, if you feel like you can't get out of the saddle and you keep falling back into it, then grab the horn or grab some mane, pull those legs back so that they're directly underneath your hips. And then once you find that spot, it should be much easier to stay up there. On the flip side of that, some riders have their legs too far behind them, and they end up falling over the front of their horse, which makes them quite a bit nervous. They feel like they're going to topple over the front of their horse. And those riders can work on pulling their leg forward a little bit. Usually I find with those that they're pinching with their knee pretty hard and their lower leg is slipping backwards. So the standing position is a great way to help them feel what's happening with their body, which can be hard for some riders to really be able to tell what's going on with their body. And get them thinking about where their leg is underneath them in relation to the horse, and get them in better balance. So we do a lot of standing position. With my young riders, we start at the halt so that they can practice standing up without the motion of the horse. And then we go on to doing it at the walk. And the good thing about standing position is you can go on and do it at the trot, at the canter, through turns and transitions. It's a really great way to challenge your balance. Another one of my absolute favorite exercises that I do a lot is 2-ups posting. And you can do 3-ups too, depending on how strong your riders are. But if you're posting around, I like to have my riders have 2 beats up out of the saddle and 1 beat down. And that is surprisingly hard. It sounds like it wouldn't be that bad if you're pretty comfortable at a posting trot. You're like, well, I'll just stay out of the saddle for 2 beats. But if your leg is not in the correct position, it is incredibly hard to stay up for that second beat. I think it surprises some riders to find that they struggle with that. But I use that a lot with my riders to help them keep their leg underneath them. I think most people don't realize that they let their leg come forward when they sit in their post. And so when they try to stay up for that second beat, they end up falling back down into the saddle. So we do a lot of that, and you can do 3 beats up, 4 beats up. I mean, you can go however long you want, but I do 2 ups a lot.
One of my favorites. Also, I want to jump in there. I love that.
Is it one of your favorites?
One of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, I do it. I do it in almost every lesson with my hump seat riders at least once. So I love that one. And then anything without stirrups is obviously going to work on both your muscle strength, but also your balance. One thing that I really like to do is, again, at the posting try, you can also do it at the canter though, is to have them drop one stirrup and
yes.
keep the other one.
I love
yeah,
that.
Because I know.
I'm the same way as you. All the riders go, oh, here we go again. It's so much easier just to drop them both. I go, I know it's easier to drop them both, but in reality, what are you going to lose normally? You're going to lose one, right? You're not going to lose both at the same time. Yeah, absolutely.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. I love that one. So, and it really will reveal to you where you're crooked in your body. Most people are going to start collapsing on one side, usually the side of the drop. So I like to do that one a lot. Most people have probably been through being on a lunge line with no rein, because we as people, we balance with our arms, and horses balance with their head and neck. Well, our balancers are directly attached to their balancer when we're riding. So if we're pulling with our arms, trying to keep our balance while we're going around, then we're interfering with them. So I do a lot of lunge line work with no reins with my riders who need to learn how to take away their balancers, that take away their connection with their arms and hands. And, you know, you have to have the safety of the lunge line there and a good horse. Don't do it on a horse that you might have a question about, because there is some trust involved here. But that's a good one to, and I leave their reins up where they can get to them if they need them. But that's a good one to eliminate what we naturally use as our balancers, so that we have to learn how to get down in our heel, keep our leg underneath us, and get our center of gravity lower down in our hips versus up around our arms and our shoulders. So those are some of my go-to exercises when I'm teaching, to try to help my riders get stronger balance, better balance, and even just to even begin developing balance in some of them.
Well, Emily, those are all great. And I know, too, that there are quite a few exercises that you said you like to do out of the saddle. So could you share some of those with us as well?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if your next speaker is going to talk a little bit about exercises, too, but I think any type of core exercises. Plank, which I hate. I'm not going to lie. I really hate to do plank, but it's a really good core strengthening exercise. Plank, burpees, any type of crunches that are going to tighten your core muscles, because that's something that we use a lot in riding. Anything that's going to help to strengthen those muscles. I also really like balancing exercises, stepping up on a bench with one leg, stepping up and stepping down, so that challenges your balance so much. Exercises with stability balls or BOSU balls, anything where you can almost make yourself feel out of balance so that you can work to strengthen your balance and strengthen those muscles that help you stay balanced. I really like to do those. And, you know, people don't talk as much about stretching with riding, but some of the best rides I ever had, where I felt the best in my riding and the strongest in my balance and everything was working great, was when I was stretching regularly, too, which as riders, I think sometimes that gets overlooked, but it can really, really help you with your riding, with your balance, and with the overall quality of your riding. So any kind of stretching, yoga, things like that will really help to improve your balance and your riding.
Well, Emily, you've given us some great exercises in regards to both on and off the horse. But let's say you have somebody that's just really good. They're solid in their riding position. They can do the one stirrup work with no problem. They can do stand with no problem, walk, track, canter, walk, jog, lope. They're figure eighting, serpentining at the stand. They're just on it. Do you have any ones that can even challenge those folks that might be listening?
Yeah, and that's something that I think as instructors sometimes we struggle with is what do you do with a rider who's really got everything together and they're really, really a strong rider. And so that's where I think riding in clinics and going and exploring some other clinicians is great. And that's because I get ideas from them. And I was fortunate enough to ride in a clinic with Stephanie Lynn last year, and we worked a lot on standing position. And she had us come up the center line at a jog, and we're in standing position. So we come up center line at a jog, and we circle to the right. We come back to center line and go straight, pick up the left lead, circle left, back to center line, head straight up center line, a simple change to the right lead, circle right, back to center line, and then simple change to the left lead. And you have to hold your standing position that whole time. So it's beyond just holding standing position at a walk or holding it at a trot. Transitions upward and downward and turns will really challenge your balance because the horse's balance is changing all through that time. So if you can maintain your leg position and maintain your balance through those transitions and through those turns, then you know that you really are rocking and rolling. And that's something that people don't think about, I feel like, with their balance, is that can you put yourself in a more vulnerable position and still do all these things that you would do if you were sitting? So I think with the more advanced riders, and even if they're really good at that, put some ground poles down and have them go over poles. Anything that's going to make them do something that's a little out of the norm for them is going to help to challenge their balance. So I really love exercises like that. And I do a lot of transition work with my more advanced students who have better balance and need to be challenged a little bit more.
I love that. So I know you have kind of an idea of the bigger picture that what does, I know it's really helpful for the rider, all this balance stuff, but how does the horse benefit from it?
Well, oh God, I mean, there's no end to the challenge of riding horses, right? We're always seeking out the next better maneuver, the stronger work, what's going to make us better and get to the next show or have the endurance, right? Whatever it is that you do that you're trying to improve upon. And, you know, the big picture with horses is that we're trying to make them be the best version of them that they can be. And a lot of that is working on their balance. Well, we can't expect them to be balanced in whatever we're doing with them if we are not balanced when we're riding them. So if you're trying to get your horse to shift his weight back to his haunches and maybe round over his top line and lift his shoulders, all these things that we see, like if you're watching a Grand Prix dressage horse show, that cannot happen if we are interfering with the horse. And anytime we get on them, we are prone to interfering with their balance. We pull on their face, which means that they can't have the freedom of their head and neck that they need. And we lean in when we go around turns, which drags their weight to the inside. A lot of riders pull downward when they're trying to get their horse to collect, which pulls their weight down on their forehand. So all of these things that we do as riders that we may not even be aware that we're doing in a lot of cases is interfering with the horse's balance and their ability to do what it is we're asking them to do. So if you want your horse to be able to shift his weight backward, you've got to be in good balance too. So being a balanced rider is the first step in being able to work on improving your horse, improving the discipline or sport that you're doing, whatever it is you're doing. That's step number one, as well as keeping you safe while you're doing it.
Emily, these were great examples, and I think the listeners could really kind of understand and appreciate where you were coming from. So if they have more questions for you, is there a way that they can contact you personally, like maybe through the CHA website or some other way? How would you like them to do that?
Well, I think my information is on the CHA website. I would give you my email, but it's horribly long and hard to understand. So I could probably tag it on your Facebook page. On the CHA Facebook page.
Yeah, maybe go to the radio show event listing and you can put it there. And then in the meantime, for anyone listening, go to chainstructors.com. That's our place to search. Just type in Emily in the search button. All the Emily's will come up, but there's not that many. And scroll down to Emily Cavender and you can find her there. So Emily, thank you so much for being on the show today. We so appreciate it. And
thank you.
It was great.
Yeah, thank you so much. Y'all have a great afternoon.
You too. Happy holidays.
So that was a great conversation with Emily. I've got some take-homes for me there.
Absolutely. I actually am teaching a pretty advanced lesson in a couple of weeks, and I was making notes too. I'm like, oh, I didn't think about doing that. Oh, this is good.
I'm definitely going to make use of the drop one stirrup part because I tend to be very crooked, and I did discover that quite by accident the other day. I was working on my No Stirrup November. Mine's No Stirrup December, thank you very much. but I found that the stiffness on one side, I tend to press very hard on one stirrup compared to the other. When I dropped the stirrup that I pressed too hard on, I could ride straighter through my core.
Nice.
So that whole drop that one stirrup thing, give it a try, even if you don't think you have a problem, because you might go, oh, it helped that, and you didn't even know. Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break here and listen to a little bit of Marianne Kennedy. Woohoo! And then when we come back, we're going to speak with Kathy Richardson.
So far from winter, the grass is green, hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses so slick and round. But they're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hay in time, hay in time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favorites, cause it's haying time. So call up your family, call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we stack that final bale, we'll celebrate and know we earned that ale. Hay in time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, cause it's hay in time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. Satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy. Pick it. Hey, in time. Hay in time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Call up all the neighbors, the givers and the takers, calling all your favors, cause it's hay in time.
And you can find all of Marianne Kennedy's music at mariannekennedy.com. She is also on CD Baby, where you can go directly to purchase it at a very reasonable price. And coming up now on the CHA episode brought to you this month by Balance Rider, balancerider.com, we've got Kathy Richardson.
So excited to have Kathy on today. Kathy and her husband owned and operate Rusty Bar Ranch in Roy, Washington. She's been an active member of CHA and a certified instructor with us, both Western and English, since 2008. Her specialty is beginner riders. She loves the newbies. She also trains horses and teaches clinics on numerous subjects such as horse agility, trail obstacles, and they also have a full care boarding there at their 30-acre facility. She loves all breeds of horses, too, and seems to own about one of every single breed there is. She likes to do that, which is great. So, Kathy, we are so excited to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit more about your facility there in Roy, Washington.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me to be on the show. I'm really excited about this. Well, my husband and I own a 30-acre boarding, training, and lesson facility here in Roy. I have been a Certified Horsemanship Association instructor since 2008, and I am rated both English Flat and Western. And well, let's see, we have an indoor 60 by 120 covered arena. We have an outdoor 100 by 200 arena. We have a full-time trail obstacle course and some riding trails on our property. So we have a lot of versatility with what we do. I not only instruct students in riding and skills of those nature, I'm also involved in horse agility. So I teach them how to work with the horse from the ground, how to create a relationship. I'm also involved in equine trail sports. And we have hosted a few competitions here as well. And I also teach people, train horses on obstacles, and just not even for competition, but just how to have a safe horse just on an everyday basis, whether you're trail riding, riding in an arena, riding outside, riding down the road, or if you want to get into competition so that everybody's safe, sound, calm, and having a good time.
And I'll tell you what's great. You were a part of the American Horse Council's Time to Ride Challenge this year. And we had, out of all the new riders that came in, CHA brought in over 5,000 of them through all of our different instructors. So thank you so much, Kathy, for being a part of that program. How was that for you? Was that a good thing to do for your boarding business and your training business?
Well, as far as our boarding business, I don't think it brought anybody new in, but it definitely introduced horses to people. We had over, let's see, 135 people who came to the National Meet a Horse Day, and it was a great group of people. Most of them had never been around a horse before, so they not only had the opportunity to shake hands with Ghost, our miniature horse, but they got to ride, and they also got a cart ride. And so we offered it to adults as well as kids. And it was a great group of people. In fact, I don't even know if I should say this, but at one point I needed to dismount from the cart and race to the restroom. And everybody was super patient and was happy to wait while I got there. In fact, when I got back, one little boy came up and handed me my helmet. And his parents were asking him why. And he said, well, she wanted to get back in on that cart so I could have a ride. And she was wearing a helmet, so I wanted to make sure she had her helmet. So,
safety first for the young man. I like that.
Yes, I thought so too. So yes, everybody thanked us. Everybody had a wonderful time. I had a great group of volunteers that gave up their day to come out and assist, and everything just went so smoothly. And there's been just some great things with Time to Ride. This is our second year participating, and I was just thrilled with all of the things that they sent our way. We had a nice banner that we hung up in our arena and also took to some of the events to promote it. We came in eighth place and just received our check yesterday for $500, so that was quite exciting. And it was also exciting to come in eighth place with CHA, and I still haven't spent that $75 at the store yet, but I will.
Good.
And then because we have Arabians, we came in second place with the Arabian Horse Association and won $1,500. So that was really exciting and completely unexpected. So Time to Ride has been awesome. And since the National Meet a Horse Day, we have had quite a few phone calls and emails from people that once they, I guess, ruminated on the riding experience, have since contacted us and begun getting set up with lessons. So, yeah,
that's
it was
how
great.
We grow
and we're
the industry, right? Is through
me?
The time to, this is how we grow the industry, is through the Time
oh,
to
absolutely.
Ride and other things like this. So I know CHA, we're so glad to partner with American Horse Council on that. So I just wanted to mention that we just appreciate you guys doing it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it was great. And we are already looking forward to next year. I've been in contact with a school that isn't too far away from us, and they are excited about having us come down and do a couple things for them, one at their spring fair and then one come this fall around Labor Day weekend. So that was something really exciting to come out of Time to Ride.
So going back to our topic at hand, Kathy, you know, this whole idea of balance, and, you know, we've had Balance Rider, Jim, and his wife, Jo, are the sponsors, and they actually produced a Balance Rider apparatus that you basically are sitting on to be able to get that balance. So there's so many different ways, both on and off the horse. So when did you first notice a need to teach this concept? When did that first kind of come to you?
Well, I do a lot of riding with various people, trail ride competitions, trail obstacle challenges, those kinds of things. And especially on trail rides, I began noticing how the riders were mostly seemed to be riding on the right side of the trail and constantly pulling on the left rein to get their horse back to the center. And they would see my horse walking down the center of the trail quietly, no problems. And I would either be told, gee, I was really lucky to have such a horse like that. Or they would ask me what I was doing, and I'd say, well, I'm sitting centered on the horse. I'm sitting up straight. My eyes are forward. I'm not impeding the horse in his ability to move, and I'm not using my hands to direct the horse back and forth. And so in watching, especially watching from behind, you can see, or I could see, the riders as they were sitting a little deeper on the right side of the saddle and the horse moving into it, and then or watch them really clamp with the right side in an attempt to move the horse over, and once again dropping their balance onto their right side, making it even more difficult, and then ending up fighting with the horse as they're pulling on that rein to get him back to the center. So that was something that really came to mind. And then as I was giving lessons with my students, and most of my students use my horses, and I would watch them as they would ride down the arena, and if they were tracking down one wall, typically it was perfect, but the minute I would ask them to reverse direction, I could see that they were having problems because they weren't sitting up straight. And I mean, just that little dip one way or the other when sitting in the saddle is enough to put that horse off balance. And not wanting my horses to have their mouths pulled on, because all of my horses have very, very soft mouths, this is something that a need that needs to be fixed, changed, and worked on. And so that's when I first noticed it and really began to focus on it.
So when you started to focus on it, did you ever have any obstacles that came up when you first began to teach it?
Oh, yes. Several. Because, one, people don't like to be told they're the problem, especially when they own their own horse. They would rather use the excuse that their horse is being stubborn, disobedient, doesn't have enough training, or one of my all-time favorites, this just isn't an arena horse. And when you are sitting properly, especially if you have been unbalanced for so long, it takes work. This is not an easy thing. And I just love it when I hear people say, well, the horse does all the work. All you do is sit there. And I'm going, well, that's, if we're doing it correctly, that's exactly how it should look. But no, we do really have to put time into it. And it takes time to break old habits. And most of today's riders don't want to take the time or put in the effort to make that happen. I typically hear, I just want to ride. I'm not going into the show ring, so what difference does it make if I sit this way or that, lean forward, stick my legs out, lean, tip my head? And until I can demonstrate to them what's going on and that it's much more than just being in the show ring, they just don't get it. But they have to understand that this is something that takes work. It takes time, and especially if you've developed bad habits.
Absolutely. So what has teaching balance riding done for your students, your clients, and your horses?
Well, for the ones who really want to improve their riding skills, they're stunned and pleased when they see how willing their horse is to work for them when they get out of the way. And then they're also amazed when they see how little effort it takes to work, whereas before they were working so much harder. And when they see that their horse is more willing to move out, is more responsive, and just it's almost as though they're thinking it and the horse does it, is when they go, oh, wow, this is really cool. And then they want to continue and put the time and effort into it.
So based on that, how do you personally teach balance riding? For those that are listening, what are some of your exercises, things that they could go and start doing?
Well, typically when I talk to somebody and we start talking about balance, I kind of get the, oh, and they don't really want to go there. So I take them out into my round pen And I get them on the horse. I take the reins away, so they just lay the rein down over the neck. And, of course, the reins are either tied or it's a closed rein so that it's not going to come loose or have the horse step on it and become injured or trip in some fashion. And then I say, okay, now take that horse to the wall. And they look at me as if I'm crazy, and they go, well, how am I supposed to do that if I don't have the reins? And I said, well, just play around with it for a little bit. And that's when you start seeing either light bulbs going off or you start seeing them getting a little frustrated because the horse is either they're giving too many cues and the horse just turns one way or the other, or they can maybe get that horse to the wall and go in one direction, but then when it's time to reverse directions, they can't make it happen. And so typically they'll say, okay, you think you know what you're doing, you get on and do it. And then they are amazed when their so-called stupid horse who isn't getting it is doing it for me. And so then when they see how I can make it look so easy, and I'm going, see, I'm not having to kick. I'm not having to tug. I'm not having to pull on the reins. I'm just doing this and see how your horse is moving and then get him back in the saddle. Then they're much more proactive at wanting to do it. And then on the ground, one of the exercises I have them do so that they understand working and rotating from the hip is to just have them stand, and I'll say, okay, now I want you to just put a little bit of weight on your right leg. Now pick up your toe and turn your heel to the outside as if you were asking that horse to move to the right. And I said, now move that heel back and forth and see how easy that is. And they go, oh, yeah. And I said, okay, now standing on your right foot, I want you to turn that right foot out and move that horse. And of course, it's much more difficult. And that's when they go, oh, I had no idea. And I said, yes, when you're leaning into that, when you're clamping that horse with your leg, when you're not rotating from the hip, you're not only are you working harder, but you're putting yourself off balance, you're putting your horse off balance, and that is where your problem lies. And then we get back in the saddle, and it's much, much better, they're much more successful and a lot happier. And those are the people who have their own horses. With my own students and my horses, we work on that right from the get-go so that they're not they're learning how to move forward and be progressive with each and every lesson. And not every lesson is successful. I mean, we have some where we have absolutely fabulous moments, and then we have others that are could have gone a little better. But we know that we can build on that for next time. And I never let my students leave frustrated. And so they know that if they have a lesson that, in their opinion, is a train wreck, they also know that the next one will go much better, and it always does.
And what's so good about this is that whether or not you ride in an arena or even have an arena, all of these balance exercises and things that we've been talking about during the show can also be done while you're out on the trail, too, working on some of these things. And I love that you brought that up at the beginning, that that was how you went, I've got to teach balance. Look at these people on the trail veering off. And I think that's a great thing to understand is that, you know, arena riding is no different than trail riding. It just, you have to be balanced and you have to be correct regardless.
Yes,
I love that you were able to bring that up. So what, Kathy, have been some of your favorite aha moments as you've been teaching balance?
Well, I would say my favorite one always comes when I ask the rider to stop their horse for the first time without picking up the reins. And once again, I get that you've got to be out of your mind. The horse is never going to do it. So I instruct them on what to do. And I say, okay, sit up straight, look forward, inhale, exhale. And as you exhale, ask that horse to whoa. And typically they'll look down at first. And maybe the first two or three times I keep going, pick up your eyes, pick up your eyes, pick up your eyes. And the minute they pick up their eyes and do that, that horse comes to a stop. And then they want to do it again because they just can't believe they didn't have to pull back hard on those reins to get that horse to stop. And then the horse is stopping with the hind end underneath them. It's very soft. It's very fluid. And I just love those. Those are my very favorite moments of all. And then my next favorite moment comes when I see their expression, when I say, okay, now let's do a haunch turn. And without yarding on that horse's face and putting that rein hard against their neck, they drop their seat a little bit to the right, put a little bit of left leg, that horse drops its hind end and just does a perfect haunch turn. And they're just always so amazed at that. And I've seen that with side passing, and I also teach gaining, and I've actually had them do a gaining pattern and do it with the rein down on the horse's neck, and they'll go and execute a gaining pattern and come back, and it's all just so fluid and so soft. And they're just loving it. And they're just so amazed. And I just love those moments.
And Kathy, it's so good. Partnership.
I have a favorite about one of my clients. Is that okay to share?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
But protect the names of the innocent.
Change
I'm not
them. Going to name any names at all.
Okay.
So I have a woman who comes to me with her own horse for lessons, and she's got a very nice Missouri Fox Trotter. And at the first lesson, she told me she needed to wear spurs because her horse just wouldn't move out without that extra encouragement. So she didn't believe me when I told her that every time you ask your horse to move, you're pulling back on the reins. And she didn't believe me. So I pulled out my cell phone and shot a few seconds of video so that she could see what she was doing. And she was just shocked because she had no idea she was doing that. So I had her dismount. She removed her spurs. She got back on. Then I had her drop the rein on her horse's neck and ask her to move. And she just could not believe how much better her horse moved and stopped and all of that. And so then I took video the second time so she could see how much better she looked. So she took a few more videos, and she finally decided to remove the spurs, and she hasn't worn them since. And it's just been so gratifying to watch how well they've worked together. And an equine trail sports competition was hosted here at our place, and she came and competed. And she was so thrilled when she saw the judges' comments on how well balanced and quiet she was in the saddle, the minimal contact on the reins, and how willingly her horse worked for her. And to just put the icing on the cake, she took first place. And she was just absolutely thrilled to have done that in her first competition. Hadn't expected that at all. And when she read those judges' comments later, she was just thrilled. And it totally made my day when she shared that with me.
Yep. And it brought it all back. That's good. And she said, I get now why this hard work happens and how it pays off.
Absolutely.
So, Kathy, how can our listeners contact you? I know they can go to our CHAinstructors.com page and look you up there. But is there another way that you would like them to find you?
Well, they can look us up on the internet at rustybarranch.com. And I also have a Rusty Bar Ranch Facebook page, or they can just look me up on Facebook under Kathy Richardson. So there's numerous ways they can find me.
Wonderful. Well, we so appreciate you being on the show today and sharing your perspective on this very important topic of balance. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you so much for choosing me. I really enjoyed being on your show.
Well, geez, another fascinating and interesting person with Kathy.
Yes, such a wide variety of ways to teach balance. You know, that just shows however you were taught, if you one day want to instruct, you may not always want to just teach the way you were taught because there's so many other ways to do different things in the riding world and in any sport, quite frankly.
Yeah, it was fascinating to get such three such articulate yet different aspects and points of view of teaching balance. Because we talk about a lot about what balance is and how important it is, but teaching it to another rider can be a little bit tricky sometimes, and that I think this show gave everybody a lot of ammunition.
I'm excited about it. And for those that want to find out more about today's show that was brought to you by Balance Rider, go ahead and come to our Certified Horsemanship Association page. You can either find us on Facebook. We do have a fan page there. And we, of course, also you can go to chainstructors.com, our main website. You can purchase that manual that we had talked about at the beginning of the show, The Art of Teaching Riding.
Excited
for that. So you can certainly do that and then also see all the past shows that we've done here with Horses in the Morning.
And if you want links to today's show, you can go to horsesinthemorning.com. This is the episode for December 20th, 2016. They're listed there by date. And we'll have links to today's guests, links to the CHA website, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can follow us on Facebook. That's where we do a lot of interacting with our listeners and get ideas for the show. Just go to Facebook and search for Horses in the Morning. If you're a Twitter and you like to live your life in 150 characters or less, our handle is Horse Radio. And you can carry the Horse Radio Network shows with you wherever you go in your phone. We have an app. It's free and easy to use. Just go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. It works for iPhone or Android. Or you can listen via iTunes. And thanks again to today's contributing sponsors, Certified Horsemanship Association and Balance Rider. And we will see you again next month on the third Tuesday.
Yes, we'll see you in the new year. Happy New Year to both you and Glenn.
Thank you very much. And Happy New Year to everybody out there.
There's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling. Lights are all a twinkling. Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas and hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Yeah. Christmas tree is loaded up with presents, and the kid in me just loves this time of year. There's no dream too big for dreaming, ain't nothing like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathered near. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.